Merkel, the former long-term Chancellor of Germany, she was in an interview and she let it slip that she thinks they'll still be fighting, Ukraine and Russia will still be fighting that war in 10 years' time. They want it to keep it going. The military-industrial complex are cashing in. And they're having an opportunity to test all battlefield weapons real time, and they're loving it. But I mean, it is actually NATO that's fighting Russia. It's not Ukraine. When we have been firing, UK have been firing Storm Shadow missiles for 2.5 years with UK technicians out of our missiles out of Ukraine into Russia, and the French have been doing the same with the Scalps, and you Americans, you've been doing the same with your ATACMS.
We gave them, I believe, $350 billion, but let's say it's something less than that, but it's a lot. And we have to equalize with Europe because Europe has given a very much smaller percentage than that. I think Europe has given 100 billion and we've given, let's say, 300 plus. And it's more important for them than it is for us. We have an ocean in between and they don't.
Or Europe manufacture missiles, American missiles.
They would like to be able to do that. We'll take a look at it. They have asked about it.
I mean, how can you say we're not at war with Russia? When, if Russia occupied or had a deal with Scotland and they were put their missiles into Scotland and were firing them at London, I think we'd say we're at war with Russia. We're in exactly that situation. Russia do not want to have a war with Europe or NATO. They've only got 144 million people. The combined population of NATO countries is 975 million. Russia's already the largest country in the world. They've got between $70 and $90 trillion of identified natural resources. That's the reason that the BlackRock, Vanguard, and State Street want NATO to engage in a war with Russia.
And let me just stop you and back you up. They said our new business model is a wartime economy. It'll last 20 or 30 years. We will win the conventional war. We don't think Russia will ever go nuclear. And then we will break Russia up in five parts. That is Napoleonic, it's Hitlerian. And now they're back again saying it. And so, and I agree with you, we've got 900 million people. And then,
and Alex, we've done all this before. In 1991, when we told the Russians that, or the Soviet Union, let us have East Germany and let us reunify Germany. We'll never move EU and NATO an inch east of there. We've moved 1,000 miles since. What did we end up with in East Germany? We ended up with a lot of old Soviet weapons, enormous. They were sent to Yugoslavia in 1991. That's what created the war in Yugoslavia. Yugoslavia was a competitor organization to the European Union and NATO. We destroyed those countries. And then we picked apart and took what we wanted. We balkanized them in the Balkans.
Germany had free LNG and gas and energy with Angelica Merkel and Putin. They were like this. I hope you don't edit this out. They were best friends until 2014. And there was a CIA coup d'etat in Kiev with Victoria Nuland. Look it up. And then it was Biden and Burisma and profit and money laundering.
So we took Croatia and Slovenia into NATO and the EU pretty quickly. We've had Montenegro since, and we blame the Serbs for it. The EU and NATO, we created that war in the Balkans. And if you remember, we bombed Belgrade for many, many months. There's no way they could fight back against us. We're not wearing the white hats in this, Alex, and I'm ashamed of what part we've played in wars in Europe.
InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on alexjoneslive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Hear that, you guys? I'm back with you again. Rex Jones, your host of the War Room Live here today on AJN. I want to remind everyone watching right now, number one thing you can do to support the show beyond buying the products, anything else, share the live links, retweet, repost, share this broadcast. It's important that you and your friends and everyone you know knows what we're talking about here and what's going on today in the world. Now, here's the thing about me, all right? I've been a little bit of doom and gloom. I've been a little bit of a black pillar, you might say, maybe even too negative. But I've reached a point with my former Trump support where I can't truly ever go back. That being said, you know, it is nice to look across the river, the Rubicon, if you will, and seeing some positive movement for a change is really impressing me. So J.D. Vance specifically is someone that I've spent a lot of time hating on. I've been calling him like Chud Vance and stuff like that. I've been saying he'll never be president. I still believe that, by the way, because I still believe in 2028 and 2032 and moving on, moving forward, this will be looked at as the $500 billion boondoggle that resulted in dead civilians across the planet and then United States dead soldiers as well. I don't really think you ever come back from that. But at the same time, it's nice to see the pivot being made. Now, why is the pivot being made? Why is the pivot being made? There's a lot of examples that we've been given. There's a lot of copium that's been sold. Well, the pivot's being made because we won already, right? That's kind of the number one argument. We won already. They have no nuclear. It's all totally gone. Whatever that means, right? And we're going to get into that because Trump says they're going to be allowed to enrich uranium for civilian purposes because, as he says with their ballistic missile systems as well, it's not fair if they can't have it, but other nations in the region can have it as well. Huh. There wouldn't happen to be another nation. You know, it's also in Levant that is not a signatory to the NPT, even though Iran is and has nuclear weapons, even though Iran does not. And that's actually our greatest ally, Israel. And they're very, very, very upset about this memorandum of understanding. And that's the thing, honestly, that's been making me the most positive about all of it is because when they're unhappy, I have to believe when Mark Shapiro, God, imagine that. Imagine that fusion, Mark Shapiro. But when Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro are around, and you have that example to point out, they are completely losing their minds. They have a word for it. It's called kvetching. I think that's how you say it. Look at that. We're going to get into all of that and more with the Vance crash out. But I want to show a few key points. This is clip one, clip two, and clip three. I want to show you guys just a little bit of a recap of the historic G7 summit yesterday where Trump signed the memorandum of understanding shortly after. Go ahead and play clip one on the uranium.
We've been pretty tough in that. You know, it's also, it is a little hard, though, when you say that somebody wants it, other people have it, other adjoining states have it, and you're not letting them have it for purposes of electricity and things like that. It's always a little tough. You have to use a little common sense, please.
Got to use a little common sense, huh? Okay, let's go to clip two.
See how it all goes. I think it's going to go well. But we'll see. So I will see you guys at Versailles.
Can I follow up quickly on something you said in the press conference? You said you don't mind Iran having ballistic missiles. Can you elaborate on that? I want to make sure we understand your position.
No, I'm saying that if other countries have them, it's a little bit unfair for them not to have some.
Wow.
A ballistic missile is not the same thing as what we're talking about when we talk nuclear.
But if other countries have them.
Saudi Arabia and Qatar, and they all have some, I would say, in relative proportion, I think it's okay. That's what I mean.
Wow, he's talking about fairness. Now let's go to clip three.
Do it. I mean, you have people living there. Buildings are being dropped on top of them.
Well, right alongside of them.
Yep, we've seen it for years, Trump.
How would you like to live there?
We wouldn't. They wouldn't.
It's so unfair, especially Beirut. You know, you go into Beirut.
Wow.
And I looked at the scene 2 days ago, yesterday, where they hit. That was a big hit. That was unnecessary in my book. Yeah, please.
Okay, so those points that he mentioned, the civilian nuclear program, the ballistic missile program, and what was the last one he's talking about? About Lebanon and about Beirut specifically. Those are the three non-negotiables for Iran. And he agrees with them. He calls it out right there. And he says, hey, it's not really fair for them to have no enrichment if the other nations can have enrichment. It's not really fair for them not to be able to defend themselves or use ballistic missiles if other nations use them, like Israel, like Saudi Arabia, like UAE, for example. It's not really fair if they get Lebanon bombed. It's not really fair to the Iranians, and it's not really fair to the people there. And it's not really fair to Trump, the guy whose entire MOU, the thing that he very clearly wants done, hinges upon peace in Lebanon. And this is the main bone of contention that's driving the U.S. and Israel apart right now. I love it. I'm all for it. I 110% support it. But you've got to think about the reality on the ground for the people in Lebanon. As Trump says, you blow up an entire building just to get one person. A lot of go ahead and play the clip out or play it again really quick. Let's analyze that again. Clip number three. Very important.
Do it. I mean, you have people living there. Buildings are being dropped on top of them or right alongside of them.
Yep.
How would you like to live there? It's so unfair, especially Beirut. You know, you go into Beirut, and I looked at the scene 2 days ago, yesterday, where they hit. That was a big hit. That was unnecessary in my book. Yeah, please.
So they're dropping buildings on top of people while they're still in them, innocent civilians. That's implied. That's obvious. And you know, they're just allowed to do it. It's unnecessary. That's what Trump says. And, you know, you have to look at it. And I am disgusted that I genuinely believe he doesn't really care about human life that much. I used to believe that he did. I used to believe that's why he was the peace candidate, pro-peace. Now I just think it's something that he said. But from a resource-based calculation, we're going to run out of oil in 4 weeks or 17 days or whatever the number is. And he knows that. He knows that means we're doomed. And that's why the war really came to a stop, really came to an end. Donald J. Trump was not willing to risk complete political annihilation in the midterms for his party that he has now branded as his own. He's taken over the Republican Party. So he decided, well, I'm going to cut bait on Bibi Netanyahu and all these other people. That's what it looks like. I'm waiting for the schizo to show up with the documents and show me that, you know, it's all a grand giant scheme, right? Like I don't know if I even believe this, but they're saying all the right things, doing all the right things. And you got to keep in mind, when does Donald Trump have the most agency? When is Donald Trump the most free? It's certainly not when he's in the Pentagon or Situation Room or White House or Mar-a-Lago, where he's being propagandized and tormented by all, you know, these big funders, big groups, people he had to put in his cabinet because he was told to put them in his cabinet by Miriam Adelson. When he's got the most agency, polar opposite of that, is when he's at the G7 conference in front of the entire world. And no matter what happens in that moment when he's on stage, nothing can stop him from being the United States president. Because although we know it's a myth, although we know, like Putin says, the men with the black suits and black ties show up when you get elected and they tell you how the world really works, although we know it's not real in that moment because of the Truman Show aspect of it, it is real, right? No pun intended, Israel. But it is real in that moment, right? Miriam ain't there. Miriam ain't on that stage. It's just DJT, Donald John Trump, and the world knows him as the leader of the free world, the leader of the U.S. empire, the leader of America. So in that moment, he calls out war crimes. He says it's reasonable for them to have civilian enrichment, ballistic missile program, all the things that Iran says are copacetic, and these are the things we need to make an agreement, he agrees with. So Donald John Trump is not the obstacle. The U.S. president is not the obstacle to peace anymore. It is now officially Benjamin Netanyahu, Bezalel Smotrich, Itamar Ben-Gvir. That is who is responsible. That is who the world will blame. And this is what I've always said. You can go back and watch shows of me months and months and months ago since I came out against Trump on all this stuff. You can go watch me say it. Trump, they would build golden statues of you if you just actually brought peace to the planet, were anti-war, and closed the border and did what you said you were going to do. Right? That's all anybody wanted. We voted for you. I pulled the cross out of my shirt and told people to vote for you on the very basis that I believed that you hated death. Well, prove that you hate death, Trump, or prove that you're at least disgusted by it. Prove that you don't want it. Get us out of this. And sadly, That means, you know, we're going to have to cut bait. We're going to have to lose some stuff. Talk about that $300 billion number. This is why I like Joe Kent's solution all the much better. Just declare victory and go home. What are they going to do? What do we need these bases for? And that is the thing that does depress me a little bit about all of this, is we're going to keep the bases. We're going to keep doing all this stuff. We're going to try to. Maybe we'll fail down the line or whatever. But it's just sunk cost fallacy. We got to get out of the Middle East. And I'll have wise unk boomers like waddle over to me like fat geese at the park and lecture me about, oh, you don't understand, young man. It's a power vacuum and somebody else is going to fill it. Sounds a lot like domino theory. Sounds a lot like Vietnam and Korea. Sounds a lot like BS. Okay. You know, Mark Levin, if a landfill could speak, it would sound a lot like Mark Levin. That's how full of crap he is. That's how full of crap all these people are. I'm sick of it. How much more do we have to suffer before we get peace? How many more stupid desert names do I have to learn before we can have, you know, domestic tranquility, the things the founding fathers talked about, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not life, no liberty, and Levin. Good grief. Look at that creature. Would you let him babysit your children? Hell no. Get him off the screen. We can get rid of him in the studio. That's the power of flying the spaceship. Get rid of him. All right. Let's play the real reason for the end of the war. Let's go to clip four.
It affects us. We have so much oil. We have tremendous oil and gas, much more than we need. We're now totally independent of the Middle East, and yet we are there to help. We don't have to be there. We don't need their oil. We don't need anything they have.
I'm going to get bad press. I know that. Now, if I did the opposite, if I went out and continued to bomb them for another four, just bomb the hell out of them, I get bad press on that. No, there's nothing I can do. But
pause
what it. This does is it.
That's all we need to hear. It's 4 weeks left. There's nothing I can do. And in there lies the truth. That's what we've been saying since day one. Everyone that's been anti-war consistently, both on Ukraine and this, that's called this out for the bad, disgusting idea that it always was. So at the same time, you're showering Trump with praise. It is like the bar in that episode of South Park. Let's see if we can get that up. It's like the one that James Cameron has to go down and raise. It's in the Marianas Trench, right? Like, he hasn't done anything correct on foreign policy, in my opinion. Like, it's been a disaster. Kept funding Ukraine. We're going to get into that in the second and third hour with our special guest, Ivan Ranklin. We're going to talk about the latest attacks on Moscow. Kept funding Ukraine. Kept funding Israel. Let them get us into the 12-day war. Let this war happen. You know, he's been unable to cut off the funding. You would think that's the basic thing the president can do, right? You would think he'd be able to pull it, right? Sadly, we didn't get that. Let's see if he's got the balls to stand up to Ben-Gvir on Lebanon, because Trump has said, and the memorandum of understanding says, an immediate stop to all the conflicts, including Lebanon. I'm paraphrasing. That's the exact language. Let's go ahead and go to clip five, Ben-Gvir going against our president. Continue to act also contrary to the principles of the U.S. Yes, we are an independent country. No, you're not. And we cannot stop demolishing houses. Pause it. We cannot stop demolishing houses in southern Lebanon. We cannot stop demolishing, destroying, burning them down, tearing people's olive trees out of the ground, setting them on fire. Why would you do this? Why can you not stop demolishing homes, right? It's called ethnic cleansing. It's the same reason why on Google and Apple Maps, they're having southern Lebanon slowly but consistently erased, okay? They're erasing the people. They're erasing the culture. They're erasing their homes. I don't get how much deeper to the soul of a nation you can get than that. Imagine if people were over here bulldozing your home so they could build another place, and they were working on Google Maps and Apple Maps, and they were saying, that address to his home, we don't need that anymore. We got a new country. We got new people coming in. They'll own it. That's how low the bar has sunk. Look at that. That's where we're at. Okay. So Trump's impassioned defense of Lebanon yesterday, if he holds to that, maybe it can be like James Cameron. Maybe I can raise the bar a little bit. Maybe I can trigger some stuff here. That's the amazing thing about being in the studio. But yes, let's go ahead and get into more of them reiterating that. Now I want to go to Smotrich, who I believe is both the finance and defense minister. Bezalel Smotrich, clip six. We'll not allow subjects there. I say that we are maintaining the IDF's full freedom of action in Lebanon. We are also maintaining the security. We are continuing to clean them of terrorist infrastructure. They have never done such a thorough and in-depth cleaning of the entire southern region. Here, pause it. They refer to killing the Palestinians as mowing the lawn, mowing the grass, because you kill the little ones so they don't grow up to be big and all that, right? So it's that same language that we're always taught that Hitler used, right? It's, oh, we got to cleanse. Hitler's primary emotion, we're told this, is disgust, right? That's why he wanted to get rid of people in a wheelchair, the people that were retarded, then Polacks, then the Jews, then whatever, right? That's the official narrative. I'm not even going to get into that whole sideshow. But we're taught this, right? We're taught that ethnic cleansing and genocide are wrong, and we're always handed the example of Nazi Germany. How is Ben-Gvir not a Nazi by that standard? How is Smotrich not a Nazi by that standard? It'll take y'all a while. I didn't have it in the rundown, but just look up Ben-Gvir Flotilla, okay? Because this guy is literally Cartman, okay? He's literally Cartman, but real, demonic, and evil, okay? From South Park, Itamar Ben-Gvir. This guy, they got people sailing in, primarily from European countries, okay, bringing diapers, food, and water to the Palestinians on something called the Freedom Aid Flotilla. Now, I know a lot of y'all out there go, Freedom Aid Flotilla, that's what Greta Thunberg was on, and she's a liberal. And it's like, yeah, we got to get past that. There's little children starving every day to death in Gaza, right? So Ben-Gvir and the IDF buddies, they interdict the people legally or illegally. They interdict them in international waters, and they handcuff them. They put them in struggle positions. Cut to where he has them, you know, kneeling face down on the ground. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, he's a real tough man, right? That's your Eric Cartman. Look at that. Look at all those peons. Look at all those peasants. Yeah, they bow down to him. How does that make you feel, America, that you subsidize this nation? You subsidize a nation that engages in brutal human rights abuses like this. And this is the stuff of nightmares. We're better than this. We're a better nation, a better country than this. And that's why Donald Trump, despite all his corrupt, wicked behavior, has called it out at the most basic level. Ladies and gentlemen, stop bombing Beirut. Stop bombing Lebanon. Stop bringing entire apartment complexes down on little children's heads. Stop it. Bad dog. That's how the U.S. has to talk to Israel from now on. We got to pull aid. We got to pull Section 224 immediately. That immediately has to be gone. And number three, people like Netanyahu, people that have warrants out for their arrest, International Criminal Court of Justice. These are war criminals, okay? And there are people that say, what are you going to do? What's your solution? Look at this. What's their solution? Murder everybody? Oh, we going to make it safe for ourselves because we killed everybody else? It's genocide. It's literally genocide. You're watching genocide. I've debated people that tell me footage like this is CGI, AI, or fake. None of it's real. Nobody died in Gaza. Only 50,000 people died in Gaza. Ridiculous lie. Hundreds of thousands dead. But oh no, when the CIA, Mossad, when they back a color revolution inside Iran and give people weapons and Starlink and the ability to, you know, try to overthrow the government, when they do that, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. And then they lose four. They say, oh, because we funded this action in the country, we lost these people. They're now dead protesters. They're now dead protesters. Now we lost 40,000 protesters. Go ask Grok about that event. If you go ask Grok about that event, it'll tell you there's not a single primary source for it. Yet they all repeat it verbatim like it's water, right? They just let it flow. And they tell you, somebody that's seen the aerial footage of Gaza, the wreckage of it, you watch that before and after line, where it's essentially just wiped completely clean, right? And they'll tell you only 67,000 people died. And they'll tell you most of them were terrorists. That's the level of propaganda. Go ahead and play more Lebanon footage really quick. People need to see this. These are American bombs that you paid for. Same thing with Gaza as well. Look at this. Yeah, that's Gaza as well. That's Gaza that's up right now. Look at the before and after. You paid for it. You eat it. It's that great scene out of Full Metal Jacket where Private Pyle has hidden the donut. And all the other people got to do push-ups except for Pyle. And they beat on him later. You paid for it. You eat it. That's what Gaza is. That's what Lebanon is. That's what the Manab school bombing in Iran was. It was things that we paid for. We paid for them, not the Israelis. The Israelis guided us to do it, directed us to do it. We paid for it, so we're partly responsible for it. And that's why I do this show. That's why I talk about these things, is to wake the American public up. Do you want to continue being responsible for it? Sure. Everyone has done a little evil, whatever. But when you become knowledgeable and complicit in it is when it becomes truly disgusting. Okay? We've got to step away here. We got to leave the Middle East here. We got to let all these people figure out their own problems without our interference. And we got to stop backing the bully at this school. We really, really got to stop. Because we established ourselves, you know, as the protectorate, as the world policeman, all that. Well, you can't really be the world policeman if you're discriminatory, right? You know, if you're judging people unfairly, you got a favorite, student, you know, a favorite accomplice, shall I say, that helps you run your empire. Well, that accomplice has taken over our empire, ladies and gentlemen, and we can't be a part of it anymore. I'll play one last clip. Go ahead and go to, we'll save that for after the break. I want to tell everyone right now, and I'll go ahead and do it live on air. You want the amazing supplements that we have at the alexjonesstore.com. We've got methylene blue, methylene blue capsule, methylene red, power plant, methyl drive, ultimate life force, MK Ultra, all these amazing blends. That right there is 10 milligrams, perfectly measured, perfectly dosed of methylene blue in a capsule so you don't get a blue tongue when you're interviewing an important guest. So absolutely delicious. Super easy to take, super easy to travel with as well. Highly recommend the capsule form of Ultimate Methylene Blue, available now at thealexjonesstore.com. We also got a phenomenal lineup of hats, t-shirt, apparel, and we've also got the amazing water filters back. I can finally say that I am but a humble water filter merchant. Again, it feels good to say, it feels good to know we got the best gravity-fed filter around. We're kind of known for that in the past, and now we have it in the present. It is an investment in your life, an investment in your future. Be healthy. You don't need fluoride, don't need atrazine, don't need all these contaminants. Just get healthy water and get the dual carbon platinum gravity-filled water filter system, gravity-fed, excuse me, from thealexjonesstore.com. You can get all of that and more at that URL. And I'll go ahead and do a little plug for myself. If you're interested in me and you want to see more of me, I'm Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. That's Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. And Gray Area Talks, the evening show, I'll be live tonight because tonight is a Thursday. I'm live every single Thursday and every single Sunday from around 7:30 to 10:30 p.m. To add on to that, additionally, I'm live in the morning from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. So if you want to catch me, I'm always around, and I've been guest hosting more and more. I really do appreciate that. My two other homes, though, you really need to check them out. Gray Area Talks on Rumble, X, wherever you can find it, YouTube as well. And then New American Journal on Rumble and X. I really appreciate everyone who's been watching the show and who has found me through there. I've been getting a lot of messages, and I really appreciate you guys. It's like I've grown up with you, right? We've got a lot more news to cover, and I do it every day, multiple times a day on Gray Area Talks. So you want to go there and follow that account. We'll get into all of it and more. I've got Mark Levin threatening the nuke. Mark Levin's also texting the president. And it's so funny because it's audio only and it makes it easier to throw other things over it and do the impressions. I've also got Ben Shapiro crashing out, kvetching, as I said. They are not happy. They are not happy. And to me, that's the greatest indicator of like, yeah, maybe it's okay to white pill a little bit. Yeah, maybe it's okay to smoke on the Mark Levin runts, the Mark Levin pack, right? The Mark Levin cig. I'm positive about that and more in the future. And keep in mind, second hour, I'll be joined by the great and powerful Ivan Ranklin, retired Green Beret, constitutional lawyer and independent investigator. So really looking forward to that and his work on the SAVE Act. And I will see you soon after this break. Breaky, breaky time. Appreciate everyone here today.
Tell your friends, and you can get Alex to the Alex Jones app as well, alexjonesapp.com. You know, especially you young people, the Zoomers listening to me, go help your grandparents. I literally, when I was in Colorado, was like installing the app on my grandmother's phone, doing the shortcut to the Rumble channel so she could always find the live stream. Technology's moving. We're moving with it, and we got to make sure to pull everybody along with us. And of course, you can support us by going to thealexjonesstore.com. We have incredible products there. I'm kind of a sucker for all of the products that we have at thealexjonesstore.com because they're all awesome. And it's not a thing I'm getting paid to do, right? Like I could always carry around my old wallet, but I got the new wallet because it's so awesome and I've been so happy with it the entire time. Now we have these premium nylon tactical belts available at thealexjonesstore.com. They're only $39.99 and they are of equivalent design, quality, standards, aesthetics, just amazing stuff. You will never be disappointed with the quality of items at thealexjonesstore.com. Whether it's the supplements or the gear like this, it's always top-notch, just like we try to keep our coverage always top-notch. Might be an ironic thing to say for a belt that has no notches. It is a heavy-duty nylon webbing with smooth automatic ratchet buckle, so there's no holes, no notches, no guessing, no too tight or too loose. You just adjust it to exactly where you want it, and it stays there. You get a perfect micro-adjustable fit, whether you're out working, carrying, driving, sitting at your desk, or on the move. We've got three unique designs, the Cross Edition, the 1776 Edition, and the Alex Jones Signature Edition. You can get each one of these for under $40, but for a limited time, you can get all three designs bundled together for only $99. If you want my advice, they make fantastic gifts, so if you want one, go ahead and get all three, and then give your least favorite two out as gifts, or heck, buy six and give three of them out as gifts. And of course, the America 250 Birthday Limited Edition 4th of July Apparel Sale is on. Folks, 4th of July is coming up quick. You're not going to want to be out there wearing like a purple shirt, right? You're going to want to be decked out head to toe in the most patriotic gear you can find. And the best place to get it, hands down, is thealexjonesstore.com. This collection right now is 30% off. So again, you're running out of time to get this before July 4th, so it's delivered and you can wear it with pride on Independence Day, coming up very, very quickly. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com. Check out the America 250 Limited Edition 4th of July Apparel Collection. It's 30% off right now. We also have gravity-fed water filter systems back in stock, because we are, at the end of the day, but humble water filter salesmen here trying to both provide, because it's always the way we've been. You've got to not just combat this stuff at the political level. You've got to protect yourself in the meantime. In other words, they put chemicals in the water. We want to be activists. We want to be protesters. We want to be running for office to get that changed, to get the stuff removed from the water. In the meantime, filter your water. It goes like that. Destroying Tyranny Since 1776, Betsy Ross snake t-shirt. It's like, how many banned logos can you put on a single shirt? How many logos that would get you kicked out of the U.S. military or investigated by the FBI can we put on a shirt? Because believe it or not, that is the state of freedom of this in this country, at least a few years ago. Do you remember there was a serial, like a list of symbols that had been banned by the U.S. Army for, you know, extremist ties? Embrace freedom and our symbols and our history unapologetically, proudly, and by going to thealexjonesstore.com.
I've got a real angel and devil on your shoulder moment here. I want to contrast the opinions about the MOU and about Trump's newfound peace position as the true peace president now, which is crazy to say, but if he holds to what he says, it might in fact be true, at least for a little while. Let's get into it. I've got J.D. Vance on one side, and I've got Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin on the other. Let's start with the devil. Let's go ahead and go to clip number... which one is it? Clip number eight. Let's start with Mark Levin. I know I told you all during the break, the crew, that I wanted to start with Shapiro. Let's go to clip number eight.
I strongly disagree with something the president said today. I heard him say one other time.
I strongly disagree with
what
the president said.
If we hadn't attacked Iran, Israel would not exist. It would have been destroyed. That's certainly not true.
So it's already fake from the jump. All right. He's already saying, like, he's playing unk. He's mentoring the president. Mark, who are you? You're a talking head. You're a broadcaster. Rush Limbaugh called you the great one time, but no.
Hamas and Hezbollah must be stopped, and I've got knowledge the president doesn't have, don't I, Mr. Producer?
That's literally what he sounds like. Imagine if I talk like that. Seriously. And I know sometimes I made the joke that I would be a better president or a better VP than JD or Trump because I would resign because I wouldn't be qualified for the job because I'm a 23-year-old, right? That's a joke. Mark Levin thinks it for real. Go back to him.
It's simply not true.
Nah.
For 12 days, Israel fought a year ago against the Iranian regime,
pause it. Fighting, by the way, means bombing people. Okay, they don't fight on the ground unless it's against defenseless women and children. And when they fight against Hamas and Hezbollah, they get blown up even if they're in a tank. Right? So when he says fighting, he means bombing them with weapons that we paid for. Play it again.
Destroyed its ground-to-air missiles. Destroyed its Soviet and Russian radar systems.
Pause it. See, Unk is still living in the Cold War. He still thinks, you know, it's the 1970s, 1960s, 1980s. Play it again.
Destroyed much of its air force. Destroyed much of any of its defenses.
Why?
For 12 days. We went in on the 13th day with our great bombers and those bombs, and we hit those nuclear sites. But Israel has some very, very powerful weapons that it has not used. I don't know this firsthand. Just go online and read about it.
Okay, pause
it. It's a secret that's...
All right, so he's about to admit or tacitly admit to the nuclear program. I would say, are him and Jonathan Pollard cousins, twins? Are they brother and sister? You know, like what's going on here for whenever they get backed into the corner... The immediate response is to threaten America with the deployment of a nuclear weapon, right? That's what happened in 1973 during the Yom Kippur War. You can go watch Jonathan Pollard, notorious spy for Israel, talk about it. He received a 30-year in jail prison sentence. So I think he knows what he's talking about in this regard. They threatened to use nuclear weapons. They said, hey, we got a F-4, whatever it's called, aircraft parked on the tarmac. We need y'all Americans. Take a look at it with your eye in the sky and notice the unconventional weaponry under the wing, right? So Mark Levin is about to admit this, and we already know this thanks to Jonathan Pollard and all his evils that he's admitted to, right? We're fully aware of that. But when Mark Levin starts talking about it, he's proud of it. He's proud of it. They're openly proud of it. Keep in mind, Israel, the only nation in the world that has nuclear weapons, I believe, and is not signatory to the NPT. I could be wrong about that, but I'd shudder to think of who else is on the list. North Korea, maybe? Like, dang, dude, like that's real limited. Go back to him.
And they've had him for decades. Israel will survive.
Israel.
Period.
All right. That's how you know he's a real MIGA, is because he hits the Israel. And I always say, if you want to be a real MIGA, it's I-Z-R-U-L. That's how Lindsey says it. That's how Ted Cruz says it. And that's apparently how Mark Levin says it, even though they all have vastly different accents. What's up with that? What's up with Israel? Look at that. Pollard. Jews will always have dual loyalty and should consider spying for Israel. Yeah. And Mike Huckabee, before the Ozempic, I guess he was like patient zero for that drug, because you can look at him back in 2011 with Jonathan Pollard trying to lobby to get him out of prison. And Mike Huckabee is like 400 pounds. Like, pull this up, because you guys aren't going to believe me. Like, maybe you will if you're older and aware of politics. But to the younger viewers out there, if you're unfamiliar with the pre-Trump era of politics, some of these people you see now used to look vastly different. But Mark Levin is out there, you know, simping for the nuclear weapon, and Huckabee is out there simping for Jonathan Pollard and all these people. Who elected you? Nobody. Let's go ahead and go to Ben Shapiro now, clip 9. If we got it.
I'm noticing that Mohammed Khalibaf, who will apparently on Friday be literally in a photo op with the Vice President of the United States. I cannot express to you how stomach turning that is. I don't care who the Vice President is. I don't care who the president is. Leaders of the United States of America in a photo op with a mass murdering terrorist supporter like Mohammed Khalibaf shaking hands 6 months after he blew away.
This is a very quick point. We covered it yesterday. I'm just trying to cover the waterfront with all the neocon garbage. Ben Shapiro says it turns his stomach as an American or as a whatever, right? That this is happening, that J.D. Vance is going to meet with the Lebanese guy that did a terrorism or whatnot. Trump meets with Al Giuliani and sprays him with his own perfume, a notorious Syrian terrorist head chopper, head of Al-Qaeda. So that's where we are with that. Go to clip 8.5. Mark Levin is texting the president. Wait till you hear this one. Really crazy
stuff. Listen, folks, I don't know if one day the president will get mad at me or not. It's possible.
Possible? Pause it. You know, it's possible the president might get mad at me.
Leave his photo up. It'll help me with the impression.
It's possible the president might get mad at me. It's only like I call him 48 times a day. And, you know, I think we used to have a closer relationship when I was gargling his balls. He really liked it when I was doing that. But ever since he, you know, stopped supporting Israel, ever since he stopped doing that, I've been really upset because Hamas and Hezbollah must be defeated. No matter how many civilians we got to kill to do it, Hamas and Hezbollah must be eradicated. And you might ask, Mark, who is Hamas and who is Hezbollah? And I would say that's every woman and child living in Lebanon and Gaza. You know, my friends in the IDF, they call it mowing the grass, mowing the lawn, killing the children so they don't grow up to become adults. Hamas and Hezbollah. They're Hamas and Hezbollah little children. We don't want them to grow up, so we get rid of them. And Donald, I've got to stop gargling your balls when you're not letting us kill those little children.
That's literally his political position. Go back to it. He's texting the president, you know, like a girl with her feet up in bed or something. It's truly disgusting. Keep playing him.
Love texts back and forth as I speak, aren't we, Mr. Producer?
Whoa, pause it. All right, we're going to rewind. What did Unk just say? Pause on Unk, rewind 5 seconds. He's sending love texts to the president? What? All right. Go ahead and replay it now.
Love texts back and forth as I speak, aren't we, Mr. Producer?
Wow.
I'm actually too embarrassed to read them.
Yo, pause.
But he must be on his...
What's going on that he's too embarrassed to read the love texts, okay?
You know, it's kind of embarrassing. I had a really, really big crush on you, Donald Trump, until you stopped letting me commit a genocide or advocate for a genocide until you got a peace deal. I thought you were a pro-war, blood-hungry person like me.
Wow. All right, go back to him. I'm interrupting a little bit here.
Air Force One on the way back? Yeah. Well, I just got a text from him. So I always love this man and adore this man. He may get mad at me.
Whoa, pause
what I'm
it.
Doing...
Are they husband and wife? He's always going to love this man. Like, it's legal. You know, Trump's been divorced before. He can get the divorce with Melania and get married to Mark Levin. He can be, you know, like our first or second, depending on how you view Obama, gay president. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Ladies and gentlemen, go back to it.
I say this is no way intended to be.
No way.
Sabotaging anything. I told you this is going to go through. What I'd like to do in the next 60 days is help improve it.
Oh, I'd like to help improve
it. That's just my perspective. Well,
Mega, how are you going to improve the peace plan? You're going to burn it and light it on fire and get rid of it. Like that's what his improvement is, right? Everything Trump talked about, letting them have civilian enrichment, stopping the bombings of Lebanon, and then making sure that, hey, just like every other nation in the region, they can have ballistic missiles because guess what? We can't take them from them, Mark. Those are, I think that's Mark Levin's main bone of contention, right? The idea that Iran is going to be acknowledged as a regional power and mostly be left alone and given a bunch of money. I don't think, and I've been listening to the Levin show, he ain't happy about the $300 billion. I'm not either. But if that's the price that has to be paid to get Mark Levin and Ben Shapiro out of our politics, I mean, I view that kind of as money well spent. Let's go ahead and go to the angel on the shoulder. And I've been a huge hater. OK, and I still am. I can't renege from that perspective. Right? I really can't. JD, you called out the Iraq war just like Trump did. I just saw a thing where he's on a podcast and the guy's like, oh, wow, you're really calling that a mistake still? He's like, yeah, absolutely. It's disgusting. I abhor it. Well, if you abhor it, JD, if you abhorred the Iraq war, why did you co-sign this one? And I guess the argument coming out of a lot of circles like Robert Barnes, who I really respect, and a lot of others, is that JD has kind of been pushed to the side. And even as he's been pushed to the side, he's been trying to get the peace deal and he's a big factor in it. Here's the thing, guys. It's like my co-host Anthony Graffio said yesterday. I'm tired of trusting these politicians, right? We all voted for Trump based on the fact that he wasn't a politician. J.D. Vance, to me, just reads as a career politician. I want a military guy. I want a guy with skin in the game, a guy that's built something, done something, bled somewhere. That's what I want. Not this, not Chud Vance. But at the same time, I'm being a hater because I want to be real. I don't want to, you know, just totally go, he's amazing, he's great, he's the best. When I've gone, he's terrible, he's bad, he's a fraud. It's a mix, you know, just like a lot of people, right? Let's go ahead and go to clip 10.
And look, I mean, it's very simple. You can't tell a country, whether Israel or Iran, they're not allowed to have any self-defense. That's not what the president has asked. That's not what the president has requested. But as part of the final deal, what we want to see is Iran not funding regional instability, funding regional terrorism, and of course, trying to rebuild their nuclear weapons program. That's the main thing. The nuclear weapons program is destroyed. It is gone. If the Iranians decided tomorrow to build a nuclear weapon, they simply don't have the capacity in order to do that. What we're trying to ensure is they don't rebuild that capacity, not just a year from now, 2 years from now, but many, many years from now, so that our children never have to worry about a state sponsor of terrorism having a nuclear weapon.
All right, so what we're dealing with here is the original 12-day war fallacy, right? And it's not a fallacy if we had stuck to it, right? Stuck to our guns that the nuclear program had been obliterated when we bombed Fordo, Nahansk, and Isfahan, right? That was Trump's initial position. Why would I go back in? I've used the B-2 bombers. Now J.D. Vance is proclaiming, we've destroyed it again. We've obliterated it again. Whatever. Whatever helps y'all sleep at night, that's fine. All right? Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. God, I do love seeing that turn back around on the Israelis. I do love seeing us say, hey, they can't have one. We destroyed the program. And you know why that's true? You know why that's beyond true? We didn't destroy the program. They didn't have it to begin with. Okay, 2003, not even 2004, as I've been saying, they passed the fatwa, the crime against God. It's a religious decree, no nuclear weapon. Who did that? Ayatollah Khamenei, who we killed. We killed the guy that banned the nuclear weapon in that country. And then the guy that replaced him, that's his son. He watched his entire family die in that attack and was critically injured as well. So does that sound like the action of a nation that doesn't want them to have a nuclear weapon or does want them to have a nuclear weapon? I've always maintained the goal of Israel getting us into this war was to get us to push Iran hard enough for them to make that call to develop that thing, to take the low road instead of the high road, if you will, when they were going to win already based off asymmetrical warfare and regional dominance, to make that mistake so Israel could truly be let off the chain and could drop nukes to murder them. That's always been my opinion. Iran chose not to do that very wisely, in my opinion, very wisely. But hey, JD, if you need to stick to the boondoggle of Iran must never have a nuclear weapon, Iran must never have a nuclear weapon. Hey, what's wrong with a little brainwashing? As long as it's fun, it's pro-peace. It is what it is. We're not getting anything better than that. Go ahead and go to clip number 11, something more serious, talking about Lebanon reiterating Trump's position.
The enforceability of it.
Yeah, so the Lebanon component, this is about regional peace, right? This is about regional peace. And what that means is we expect Hezbollah is not going to be firing rockets and firing drones at the Israelis. And we also expect that the Israelis are not going to be going wild in Lebanon, right? Both sides have to honor their end of the deal. Now, as you guys know, sometimes these ceasefires are a little messy. The President of the United States said this a couple of weeks ago, that a ceasefire in that region of the world just means they're shooting a little bit less at each other than they were before. What you've seen is radical progress.
Radical progress. Well, I guess both sides have agreed, and that's the benchmark Larry Johnson set as to when he'd believe something regarding peace would be real in the region. I do have to agree with him. At the same time, JD says they shouldn't go wild in Lebanon. They've been shelling Lebanon. They've flown more drones in there. They've been doing their thing. Okay, and you got to keep in mind, the battle is over the land around the Netanya River. Okay, it goes like that. And there's a little section where Israel is north of it. I think when JD says the ceasefire can be messy, things can be messy, Israel has stated, and I played the Smotrich and Ben-Gavir clips, I'm going to play them again. I'll play the Smotrich one, clip 6 here in a second, talking about their absolute rejection of that. Or I've already played it. I don't need to go back to it. The point being, they've ignored it. They've said, look, we need to set up a buffer zone. That means they're going to colonize and take the territory and move settlers in south of the Litani River. Now, you can look at Syria, the Golan Heights. That was allowed to happen. And even though I disagree with it, it's abhorrent. They're erasing the culture and they're genociding, ethnically cleansing the people of Lebanon. It's going to be interesting to see where the wiggle room is. But it is, from Trump and reiterated from JD, a strong perspective to say, hey, no more houses dropped on top of people. It's unnecessary. It's unwarranted. The attacks on Beirut are unwarranted. That does seem to be a main sticking point. Let's go ahead and go into clip number 12, J.D. Vance, win-win for us, breaking down the situation more.
So you really have a win-win situation for the United States of America. If the Iranians don't change their behavior, their military and their nuclear program is still destroyed. If they do change their behavior, then they are going to have a transformative relationship with the Middle East, and the Middle East will have a transformative relationship with the people of Iran. That's a win for the American people and for the President of the United States, regardless of which option.
All right, remember when the Ayatollah was gay and we're going to kill them all and ha ha ha, raghead muzzies, we're going to obliterate them. We want regime change 24 to 48 hours. We're going to get it. That's what we were all told. Now it's, he's great. Trump says, Ayatollah,
You know, I bet he doesn't like me after killing his entire, you know, wife and family and dad and all that silly stuff. Believe me, maybe I wouldn't like me either if I did that. But he's a professional. I'd like to meet him. Like Trump literally says now he'd like to meet him. J.D. Vance says we got to get along with them. This is where we always should have been, right? Instead of picking fights, instead of spending, you know, $500 billion on this war and destroyed military equipment, the $300 billion and the $110 billion spent already. Instead of doing that, we could have just had peace from the begin with. We could have just lived in paradise, but we got to get back there now. Paradise lost. I want to play this one, skipping forward a little bit. Let's play clip 13.5 and then clip 14, one after another, and then come back to me.
And the second message I would give to some of those cabinet members, BB, to his credit, has not gone down this path, but to some of these cabinet members in Israel who are attacking the President of the United States, the other thing that I would say is that over the last 3 months, two-thirds of the defensive weapons that have protected your homeland have been built by American hands and paid for by American tax dollars. The problem for Israel is not Donald J. Trump. And anybody in Israel who thinks their biggest problem is the President of the United States needs to wake up and smell the reality of the situation that country is in. Thank you all. What I will say, and this does bother me, is that you've seen people within BB's cabinet.
Go ahead and pause it and go back to me. So he's calling out Ben-Gvir and Smotrich directly there because they say, we don't care what the president says. We're going to keep bombing Lebanon. JD's issuing warnings here that I haven't, I didn't expect any of this from the administration. And the fact that you see him out there being used as the attack dog for it, I have to think Trump is telling him to do it. Right. And you'd say it's not enough. I agree. We're going to see more of it if it continues. And if our position holds that we want a ceasefire, we want peace. Go ahead and play clip number 14. Did I put that in here three times? That is insane. That is crazy. We got the core of what J.D. Vance is saying, although it is, you know, a milquetoast fence sitter perspective, kind of a Rogan perspective, if you will, on the conflict, which is just, hey, man, we want it to stop. That's 1,000 times stronger than saying, hey, man, we'll pay you more to do it. Right. And that's the reversal in the U.S. position that I like to see. That's what I've been waiting for from the beginning. The simple solution to all this, it's very clear. It's right in front of everybody's face. It's the 800-pound gorilla in the room. We just have to stop paying them to do all this stuff. Right. It's not, you know, a crusade. I hear this a lot. It's like, we got to go retake the Holy Land. It doesn't belong to the Muslims. Doesn't belong to the Jews. It belongs to the Christians, all of that. Why? Why? They call it the graveyard of empires for a reason. We've been in like who knows how many wars in the region, and we can't achieve peace everywhere we go, destabilize it. Gaddafi had the highest standard of living for all people in Africa and Libya. He was building aquifers. He was doing all these things. And guess what happened to him? We came, we saw, he died. Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, bragging about the bayonet that was shoved up his ass. He died via bladed sodomy. Okay? That's what we do. And guess what? Where you had the highest standard of living in Africa, you had these aquifers, you had all these things, you know, he's developing a gold-based currency separate to the IMF. Certainly don't like that. You got open-air slave markets now. You got complete wanton apocalypse land now. Total anarchy. All for what? A failed state. And they brag about it. They call it the Libyan model. People like Lindsey Graham are calling for the Libyan model on Iran. How do you think that makes the Iranian people feel, right? You know, if you're seeing Western media and they're like, oh, we're the liberators. We want to liberate you so you can have OnlyFans and strippers in your country, right? We're going to free you by giving you a World Bank, the IMF Bank, instead of what you have already. People living there go, what? Wait. You're going to do what to me? You're going to come in here and destroy my country, take it over, pillage it, and have it for yourself? I don't think so. And then, of course, they're not going to join the side of Lindsey Graham when Lindsey Graham talks about giving them the Second Amendment. The Iranians are giving guns to their own people or were to defend the homeland due to an invasion, right? And you think about this story, it's very, very simple to understand. You got people being attacked, right, by a much larger power that's thousands of miles away. You think they're going to side with us? Of course not. Absolutely not. And that's the spirit of all this that people need to get through their head, the spirit they have to understand. We were always in the wrong from day one. Okay? Because just like Libya, just like Sudan, just like Yemen, just like Somalia, just like Iraq, just like Afghanistan, I could go down the list everywhere we've destroyed. We ain't ever going to fix it. You know, if we're just going to play with it and break it,
then how about we don't play with it at all? And how about we let the people that live there put themselves back together again? And you know, hey, if Israel wants to have a giant war, then Mark Levin, I'm going to go over there and enlist and fight. And I'm going to go show them what's what. Like, you can go over there yourself, bro. Why do you need Americans to die? I reiterate again, because I can say thousands of dead civilians, hundreds of thousands, if you include Gaza and Lebanon and all of it. I can say that all day. The Americans, they just shrug their shoulders. They go, oh, well, it's thousands of miles away. How about the 13 dead American soldiers? Probably a lot more. How about the hundreds of casualties? How about the 16 and a half gallons of blood that watered the ground when those soldiers died? How about that? You know, because Mark Levin says it's worth it to defend our country. Well, I'm sorry, bro. We don't have the same country. I serve America. You serve Israel. And that's what makes you and everyone else around you make Israel great again, a real MAGA. And you know what? That's not MAGA. That's not America First. There's nothing patriotic about it. Go be patriotic to the country you actually support. Okay. And look at this. Israel launches fresh strikes on Lebanon despite Trump criticism. Scroll down a little bit in that article. Maybe it's just a video. Of course. And I already told you the shelling going on last night. This is a matter of survival for them. And it's a matter of convenience for us here in America. And for Israel, they always make the grand claim of, oh, it's for survival as well. I guess if you're in a fight, you got to survive and win. But when you start the fight, you're kind of leaving out crucial context there, right? Trump says that Israel's been fighting Hezbollah for too long and too many people are being killed. Without the United States, there is no Israel. Yes, throw that back up. 110%. Trump's telling you the truth right there. Without the United States, there would be no Israel. Without me, there would be no Israel because no other president was willing to do what I did. Well, you know, it's kind of flipped. There might be no Israel because you did do what they said. That might actually be the result of your backing them, Trump, which it's kind of ironic. You know, Netanyahu's ambitions of the greater Israel and all of it, they were running out of time already because the American people are waking up, realizing that we're funding these genocides for decades. And then Netanyahu says, okay, do or die, now or never, I've got to take over. And he does even more genocide, does land expansion. TikTok, TikTok, TikTok. The boomers are getting older. The zoomers are getting more educated. Gen X, millennials, wiser boomers. Everyone's getting awake to the scheme, awake to the fraud. We ain't paying for it no more. We ain't doing any of it no more. It's over. It's finished, finito, done. I'll be joined by Ivan Ranklin here at the start of the next hour. Really looking forward to that. Great interview. We're going to get into the Ukraine war escalation. Going to talk Operation Spiderweb, going to talk the Save Act and so much more. Really appreciate all of y'all. Share the live feed now. Retweet AJN. Share the Rumble link. Shout out Rumble Chat. I love you. I'll be right back. Rex Jones, War Room.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground, they dig their tunnels, they drive it to the refinery, they melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.